since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1232. This is your host, Danny Pena. And first of all, everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode right here. It's only going to be me. I'm planning to post an interview that I recorded a few weeks back with Ed Boon. He's one of the co-creators of Mortal Kombat. You know, the game turned 30 years. And we talked about the history of Mortal Kombat, him, you know, going from working on pinball machines to creating an iconic game. And I've been trying to get an interview with Ed Boon for a very, very long time. And I'm going to play here on Gamertag Radio. All right, everyone, remember, head over to GamertagRadio.com, listen to our past episodes, and make sure to share the content and let people know about GTR. Tell them it's easy to find us. You can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just go and search for Gamertag Radio, and we're there. Make sure to subscribe, follow us, and more importantly, guys, post your review. We've been seeing the reviews from everyone from all around the world. So if you haven't had a chance, please post a review. It only takes a few seconds of your time, and it will be very helpful for us. More people could discover the show because of your support. If you'd like to be part of our family discussion, here how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, everyone. Before I play the interview with Ed Boon, remember that we're going to be coming back here with more announcements, more cool stuff coming up. We're actually going to be talking about the Game Awards. Actually, by the time you listen to this, the nominee is going to be out. Yeah, we're going to be talking about all that stuff, so stay tuned for that. And yeah, stay tuned. We have a pretty cool episode coming up in the future, so stay tuned. But now, let's go straight to the interview with Ed Boon, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so today we have a special guest. Look, to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Mortal Kombat, I have the one and only, the legend, Ed Boon here. Ed, welcome to the show, man. Thank you to be on here on X-Play, man.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm very excited. This is a real exciting time for us, you know, with Mortal Kombat reaching this huge milestone. So it's always fun to kind of reminisce about what's been going on for the last 30 years.
Yeah, even before you started, you know, working on games, I know you were also involved with like pinball back in the early days. I was there at the DICE Awards, which you got your Hall of Fame award. And congratulations, by the way. That was a really great night, man. Yeah, like how was the process of, you know, working on that and then going to, developing a game like Mortal Kombat? How was that process for you back then?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was something I had always wanted to do. I think when I originally was interviewing at Williams Electronics, I was under the impression it was for a video game programmer. And they informed me at the interview that it was for pinball machine programming. And so I thought that would still be fun and it might get my foot in the door in terms of getting to do a video game. And so I did that for about 3 years. It was a lot of fun, and it was a little bittersweet when I left. But at the end of the day, I really wanted to work on video games. And so I got my foot in the door, got into doing games. You know, it wasn't mechanical things. Everything was on the screen, which was always the most exciting part for me. It's such a, you know, a blank canvas, basically. So it was a dramatic difference, but it was something that I wanted to do.
Yeah, I really enjoyed playing Mortal Kombat. I remember seeing from the original arcade game, seeing a long line of people just getting ready to play. We'll put up our quarters right on the screen, you know, getting ready for the next round and everything. And I started playing a lot. And how was the process of coming up with the characters back in those days? Because I know there's a lot of Easter eggs, and especially recently you've been posting a lot of videos and stories of how was it, you know, working on coming up with the characters back then. There's a lot also personal Easter eggs about these characters related to you too, and also your family and your team. So can you give us a couple of Easter eggs that you've been revealing now the past year to celebrate the 30th anniversary?
Yeah, we've been very much in like a reminiscing kind of headspace. And it was, I have videos of all of the I guess you can call it motion capture, but we were really kind of digitizing real people. And as you just watch the videos, you can really see the how much fun it was to put things together, how at the end of the day it was really cutting edge for its time, and how that was really kind of redefining, you know, what a character was in a game, in a fighting game, was really kind of redefined, because, you know, we had a backstory for each character, and that really gave them a little bit more layers, depth with them. That coupled with the cool things that they do, right? Throwing a spear, freezing somebody, you know, lightning, all these kind of supernatural things. The combination of those two really kind of elevated what it meant for the definition of a character in the game. And that's really what kind of set Mortal Kombat apart.
Yeah. Which one was the first character you came up with? And also which one was the last from that group?
The first character we came up with was, officially it was Van Damme. You know, we wanted to make a Van Damme video game. And when that kind of fell through, we changed Van Damme to Johnny Cage. And then the last character we did was Sonya Blade, because we went on test in an arcade. The game did really well, but it only had 6 characters, and there were no female characters in the game, which, you know, when I think back now, that was really odd that we didn't think to put a female fighter in there. And it became clear that we needed to, so we rearrange things, and so the character that was going to be Jax, Curtis Stryker, had all the, you know, just changed forms a few times, and eventually ended up being Sonya Blade.
That's awesome. I remember trying out Sonya Blade for the first time too, man. Like, I remember even back then when you guys released the console's version of Mortal Kombat, there was a huge debate with the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis versions. I remember being in school and I'm debating with my friends, like, well, you know, my version has blood, Super Nintendo version doesn't have blood, you know. And we'll talk about that stuff, man. Like, how was also working on that, you know, from arcade going to consoles, and how difficult was it for you guys to, like, oh man, we can't add blood to the Super Nintendo version, man, but at least we could do it for the Sega Genesis?
You know, for the players, it was interesting because that became part of, like, the console wars, right? Like, the Genesis versus Super Nintendo, and the Genesis had, you know, a check on their column because they had the violence and the blood. Even though the graphics weren't as sharp as they were on the Super Nintendo, the Genesis was the authentic version of Mortal Kombat. And it played better too. It played considerably better, in my opinion. So that was a really frustrating point from our perspective, because the Super Nintendo version was watered down. It, you know, it didn't play as well. And it was, but it visually was the prettiest version. So we really thought that there was a potential sweet spot that they could have nailed. And they ended up doing it in Mortal Kombat 2. Mortal Kombat 2's version played better. It had the fatalities. And it was, you know, in my eyes, it was kind of making up for the first Mortal Kombat, because it was, you know, kind of making up for the sins of the past.
Yeah, how surprised were you guys when this game became a hit back in those days? You know, there was a lot of fighting games, you know, Street Fighter, there was the SNK games too back then. How surprised were you guys when this got released and you're hearing the stories of so many people playing the arcade version? Because look, now even you talk to the regular person that doesn't even play games, they know about Mortal Kombat, you know. And then after that, movie came out. I think there was also a Broadway show, I think, I believe, the 90s too. I can't quite remember, but it became a huge mainstream success, man.
It was something that took us, certainly I know it took me a long time to finally accept. You know, there was a number of moments that when Acclaim, for instance, they told us they were going to spend $10 million on the ad campaign for the game. And I remember at CES, they brought me up to one of their booth and they showed me the TV commercial where everybody, you know, the kids are yelling, Mortal Kombat! Mortal Kombat! And I had turned to them and was kind of like, you know, I don't know. I think you're expecting a little too much from this game. And to their credit, they saw something bigger than I anticipated. And they pushed it and they raised it, in my opinion, into the, you know, kind of pop culture mainstream, you know, exposure. And the same thing happened with the movie. So the movie came out. We were thinking, you know, oh wow, you're really going to make a movie about this game, and we had our hesitations, and then that movie was huge. So it was the last thing we were expecting was that this was going to be something as big as it was, and it was just a big roller coaster ride. Every you know, you were talking about you said it was a theater thing, but it was actually like a live tour. They had a live tour that was going to different cities and putting on a live presentation of Mortal Kombat. And so it was, there was a period of time when there was just, it was in so many forms of media, TV, animated shows, movies, and of course the games.
Do you have anything planned to celebrate the 30th anniversary? Because I feel like this game is iconic, it's very influential, it changed fighting games genre forever, you know. So do you guys have planned anything else for the rest of the year?
I guess I can't specifically say what we're doing, just because we want to, you know, we do have something planned. It's going to be fun. I hope people don't expect a little too much in terms of, you know, announcing our next game, announcing, you know, because we haven't even announced what it was, if it's going to be a Mortal Kombat game or Injustice and whatnot. But it is something that we will acknowledge at some point. You know, it's too big of a deal. 30 years, so many of the fans have been with us literally for 30 years. You know, somebody playing the game when they were 18 years old now is 48 years old, right? Like, it's so weird to do the math. You know, we were four guys in our 20s working on, you know, this game that we had no idea was going to be so big. And I would have never guessed in a million years that 30 years later it would be bigger than it originally was. It's just crazy. I'm still in shock by it.
Yeah, and you know, as a Latino and also Dominican, I was very surprised that you were also Dominican. I had no idea. I just found this out a couple of years back, and I'm so proud to see that, because you know, in the industry, you usually don't hear about that a lot, and I feel like it is important to talk about that, like. You know, now it's Hispanic Heritage Month. Like, how important it is to see more Latinos also to be involved in the gaming industry and in different ways, from content creation to development? How important is that to you?
It's very important. And some people don't realize that John Tobias is also Latino. And so, you know, the two of us really were great, you know, creative partners in it, and the fact that, you know, Mortal Kombat is kind of created by two Latinos is really something that isn't really talked about much, but I think should be, and it's something that we're very proud of, and we're you know, it's been great to kind of carry the torch over these last 30 years, just representing in a sense, right?
All right, I know the Dominicans are probably not gonna they're gonna be mad if I don't ask this, man. Where are your family actually from in Dominican Republic? Because a lot of people have been curious about that.
Oh, both my parents were born in Santo Domingo, which is the capital of the Dominican Republic. And my older brother and older sister, my older sister Sonia, who the character is named after, and they were born in Santo Domingo as well. We moved to Chicago, and I was the firstborn in Chicago, and my younger brother and younger sister were also born in Chicago. So Santo Domingo was the first where my parents were born.
That's awesome. Really, 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 really cool to hear, man. Yeah. So let's continue with Mortal Kombat, man. You know, I know ever since the release of the first game, you guys have been changing a lot, especially after 2. It was very, very different than 1. And now with Mortal Kombat 11, like, how has been the process of coming up with something new for the next game every single time, man? Because it could be very, very difficult. And plus, was there any other fighting games that was very influential to, for you as a gamer that helped you to develop, you know, past Mortal Kombat games?
Yes. I think we have to give credit to Street Fighter and before that Karate Champ, right? Like, those were the two games. I'm sure there were others, but those were the two that really kind of broke through and made that genre something that, you know, in a lot of ways people think of as saving the arcade. So Street Fighter was great. It had, you know, big characters on the screen. We saw it and we're thinking, you know, it would be, there's room to make another kind of grittier, you know, bad boy version of Street Fighter. And that was kind of our goal in the beginning. But we always did acknowledge the doors that Street Fighter opened, and hopefully, you know, Mortal Kombat opened doors for other fighting games, kind of solidifying that genre of game.
Yeah, how you guys came up with the concept of fatalities and all the other stuff you could do at the end of the game, was that something that was planned from the beginning?
No, it wasn't planned from the beginning at all. The fatalities came about because in Street Fighter, there was a way to make your opponent dizzy, right? Like, you hit them a bunch of times and then they get dizzy, and you're basically, while they're dizzy, you get a free hit. And that drove me insane in terms of being the victim. Like, just knowing that you get a free hit was just the worst feeling in the world. And being the attacker and getting a free hit was the best feeling in the world. So we moved the dizzy part to the end of the fight, right? So when you defeat the guy, so your opponent isn't going to feel bad because they already lost. And we just let you do an uppercut. And we had a move where Shang Tsung would cut your head off, basically, and you'd fall. And we mocked up having Johnny Cage punch your head off as just an experiment to see if, and it was, everybody responded so much. Everybody in the studio responded so much of, like, you know, that is the coolest thing. You get to kill the guy at the very end. And then we started capturing animations for that. Kano, you know, grabbing the guy's heart. That was based on a cliche of, like, a martial arts movie. They show you your heart before you die and all that. And then Scorpions came along. Sonya's, Sub-Zero's, I remember John Tobias suggesting he tear the guy's head off in the spine. And my first response was, you know, wow, I think that's going too far. And he goes, no, they did it in Predator. It was great, you know. And so we did that. And that ended up being probably the most iconic one from the first game, is the Sub-Zero's spine rip.
Yeah, who's your favorite character? And which one is, like, your favorite fatality out of all the characters from the original game?
My favorite fatality was... I guess I'd have to pick Sub-Zero's, where he tears the spine, you know, out of there. I'm not sure if you'd ask my favorite character is Scorpion, but my favorite fatality is Sub-Zero.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, you know, I really enjoy Sub-Zero. Scorpion is my favorite character of all the game. Yeah, and you also did the voice acting for Sub-Zero for many years. How was that, man? Trying to find the right voice just for that character overall for the original game?
Well, it was Scorpion that I did the Get Over Here from. And that was actually based on, we had, the previous game I worked on was a game called High Impact Football. And that game had a whole bunch of taunts just like that, where the characters would yell at the screen and, you know, I eat quarterbacks for breakfast, and a number of those voices were mine. And so it was just kind of like inspired from that. We just had, you know, this kind of, because Get Over Here, when you think about it, it's not a very like specter thing, you know, like something that a revenant or a specter would say. So it was kind of like a tie over from the High Impact Football thing. And but, you know, people just loved it. They just had this, Dan Forden put this like echo on there. And, you know, we didn't have professional voice actors at the time. So I was the voice of Scorpion, Liu Kang, Kano, Johnny Cage, you know, a lot of the male voices were me. And Scorpion just had the most memorable catchphrase.
Yeah, that was the most iconic one at World Raw for sure. Yeah, man, I know I've been seeing a lot of tweets asking me anything from Ed, you know, teasing and post. You know, you're messing with the community a lot, man. Like, people mentally, they're like, oh my God, what Ed is doing? This is going to be something big coming up in the future. Like, it looks like you're having a lot of fun doing this, man.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun. There's some of it is for play, and some of it is, it's been so long since our last game. The last game we put out was Mortal Kombat 11 in 2019. And so there's certainly, you know, I keep forgetting that from the outside in, we haven't given any indication as to what's going on. So there's a very much appreciated buildup and anticipation for what we're doing next. And while I certainly can't just say, oh, it's this and it's that, then there's no rollout, there's no build up, there's no campaign basically to announce the next game. But I do want to provide some amount of communication with fans, just because complete silence is got to be aggravating for players who are really anticipating what we're doing next. So I'm trying to find that line, that balance between having fun, teasing a little bit, and actually giving some feedback.
Yeah, I think that's very important, to stay in communication as much as possible whenever you get the chance with the community, man, because people are very excited to see what you guys are coming up with next in the future, man. Mortal Kombat, to me, changed a lot of people's lives, man. You know, even when there was nothing really going on in the early 90s, man, like, that was the game that we'll go to, like, the local spot in the city, especially for me in New York City, and I will play that, or in Miami, you know. So I hope you guys continue to do that, man. Just, you know, ask me anything, you know, with the fans, and maybe post some more behind the scenes footage from back then. I think that was very, very important for the fans.
Yeah. It's, I can tell you that I certainly would like to do a lot more than I'm doing. But for a number of reasons, you know, I have a full-time job, and then also, you know, I really don't want to, you know, we have something really special that we're working on, and part of the fun is also just the reveal of what we're going to do next. So I really want to I think people will enjoy it more if they don't know what is coming, and it's a nice, cool reveal.
Yes, randomly surprise everyone. Let's go for it. Now, Ed, now this is important. You know, the next 30 years, or let's go with 100 years, the next generation of gamers in the future, man, when they discover Mortal Kombat, you know, the first game and all the other ones, right? What is that you want people to remember Mortal Kombat? Like, why that game is so important for our industry?
I guess in some ways, it, you know, it pioneered a visual, you know, Midway had already established digitized characters, and Mortal Kombat was just like the culmination of all that technology, some really cool ideas, and a fun game. And it has changed so much over the years. So from my perspective, I'm hoping that Mortal Kombat is remembered kind of like Marvel is or DC is. You know, there's no real okay, this is the last game. You know, I don't think, you know, we don't think of it as just a video game. Mortal Kombat now is a universe. It's a range of characters. It's different forms of entertainment, television, movies, video games, books, merchandise, all that stuff. So it's kind of like this universe that I'd like to think of it as. I've heard it be the term forever franchise, right? Where it's always going to be around, even if we stop doing games, it'll continue going on just because there's so much vested interest in these characters, the lore, the story, the gameplay, the outrageousness, right? The fatalities are so over the top. So that's what I hope it's remembered as, is something like a Marvel or a DC or, you know, where it's like its own universe.
Yeah, and my last question, and this is also because I met a lot of developers when I went to Dominican Republic, and you know, they're up and coming, they want to work on their games and everything, right? What advice you would give them? Because you know, a lot of them don't know what to do, how to get into the industry. Would you give them like an advice out there for those that are up and coming, they want to become a developer?
I think my advice would be to get a copy of a game engine, whether it's Unreal or Unity, and those are free to download, and you have an entire suite of tools to put something on the screen, make some gameplay, and I think it will certainly answer the question for those who are wondering if this is the industry they want to get into. Just start messing around with that and see what it takes to make a game. There's so many different disciplines, programming, different types of programming, art, animation, design, characters, backgrounds, music, audio, sound effects. There's so many different disciplines that you can really excel in, and so my suggestion would be to find the one that you are most passionate about. Or if you want to be, you know, in a broader sense, it's like, you know, production and really study it using these, take advantage of these free tools that are out there and make something, right?
No, thanks a lot for great advice and everything. And you know what, Ed, I just want to say thank you for being on here. It's been one of my bucket lists, man, to have you on and for me to interview you, man. You know, as a Latino, I'm very proud to see more Latinos involved in the gaming industry, man. And you changed the game, man. You changed the game from way back, man. So thank you for your contribution, man. So thanks, man. It was an honor having you on.
Well, I appreciate you having me. It was a lot of fun, and thanks again.
Yeah, make sure to follow him on Twitter. You never know. You never know when he will come out. All right, Ed, thanks a lot, man.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here. Thanks to WB Games and also Ed for being part of the interview. That was a lot of fun to recording that. And yeah, if you guys are excited to play, you know, the iconic Mortal Kombat, the first one, yo, let me know your thoughts about it, your favorite characters and everything, man. And yeah, what are your predictions? Do you think we're gonna see more announcements in the future about the game? Are we gonna see it during the Game Awards? Is this something like sometime next year or what? Let me know your predictions. I'm very, very curious to hear what everybody has to say about it, man. So, all right, so we're gonna wrap it up here. A shout out to PM Paris. I know they're gonna be joining us next week, so stay tuned for that. I very quickly, I'm gonna play this audio. It's in Spanish, by the way. It's in Spanish, and it's me on Telemundo's Hoy Día. That's a morning show that airs nationally here in the United States. So I'm gonna play right now, and it talked about me and my career here. You know, how I started with Gamer Tag Radio and podcast, and check it out.
Y ahora vamos a conocer a un latino con raíces dominicanas que ha logrado sobresalir en el mundo de los videojuegos, donde no había mucha representación, Rebeca, para los nuestros.
Exactamente, Arleti. Bueno, Mario Perea nos tiene la historia de Dani Peña.
Sí, este es set de X-Play aquí en G4.
Un latino pionero en el mundo de los videojuegos.
En los años 80.
Él es Dani Peña, nacido en Nueva York de familia dominicana. Y aunque ahora es toda una celebridad en la industria, las cosas no siempre fueron así.
A veces voy a un evento y yo soy el único latino. Ahí, right? Uno se sienta solo. Pero ahora ya tenemos más gente de color y nosotros queremos hacer ese cambio.
Mejor conocido como Godfrey, es el fundador y coanfitrión del galardonado programa de podcast de videojuegos Gamertag Radio. Además, es el primer latino en ser inducido al Salón de la Fama del podcast.
Si usted tiene un sueño, go for it. No piensa porque no tiene el dinero para hacerlo. Hay diferentes programas que uno puede hacer.
Dani fue introducido al mundo de los videojuegos cuando era pequeño y se enamoró.
Eso fue por mi abuela. Ella me compró a mí un Atari 2600 en el año, yo creo que fue en 1983, por ahí, 84. En ese tiempo, man, jugaba yo mucho Pac-Man. Otro juego se llama Asteroids Defender. Jugaba yo mucho con el Atari. Pero la gráfica no era tan como el Nintendo de ahora, ¿sabes?
Al pasar de los años, comenzó a experimentar con la radio por internet y finalmente decidió dedicarse a los videojuegos y podcast como carrera. Hasta fue invitado a jugar con Bill Gates en un evento especial.
Y yo fui con mi cámara y con mi tape recorder y comencé yo a entrevistar a gente que estaban en fila. 2 semanas después me llamaron de nuevo. Dije, Dani, pueden venir en Times Square y queremos que tú juegas con Bill Gates. Y yo, what? Okay. So yo comencé a jugar con Bill Gates.
Después de lanzar Gamertag Radio en el 2005, los resultados no fueron inmediatos, teniendo que invertir todos sus ahorros en el proyecto.
Yo nada más tenía $20 la semana de aquí en Los Ángeles. So, mi hermano y yo fuimos a comer Dollar Burgers en McDonald's. 2 meses después, Steve Jobs estaba haciendo una conferencia y dice, vamos a lanzar podcast en iTunes. Y así fue que todo cambió, porque ya iPods ya tienen podcast. Los listenership subió muchísimo.
Actualmente, Gamertag Radio se encuentra en su temporada número 17 con más de 1,000 episodios lanzados y teniendo millones de oyentes mensualmente. Por su parte, Dani Peña se encuentra trabajando para inspirar a las próximas generaciones de creadores latinos, hablando en escuelas y universidades. Además, lanzó su libro para niños con el que espera causar un impacto positivo.
En ese tiempo no tenía como un mentor cuando era pequeño, como para conseguir consejos, cómo hacer esto y todo. Yo aprendí todo by myself. Y ahora que yo tengo ya el knowledge de hacer esto, vamos a ponerlo en un libro y enseñar eso a todo el mundo, a todos los niños que leen esto, en inglés, en español también.
Desde Los Ángeles, California, Mario Perea, Hoy Día Noticias Telemundo.
Ay, muchísimas gracias, Mario. Me encantan tus historias y me encanta esta historia de Dani Peña, porque él no tuvo, como dice, un mentor, pero él sí se ha convertido en mentor para muchos niños y sin duda se vale salir adelante y se puede cumplir un sueño.
Efectivamente, así que muchísimas gracias a Dani Peña por allanar el camino para otros latinos en esta industria, ¿verdad, Rebeca?
Felicidades también.
Y ahora vamos a ir con nuestras compañeras Ada y Stephanie. Cuéntenos a qué nos tienen.
Ay, pues nos encantó también esa historia. No hay que quitar el dedo del renglón y nunca, nunca dejar esos sueños que tanto anhelas en la vida, aunque muchas veces se te cierra una puerta en el caso de él.
Y además que muchas sorpresas da la vida con momentos lindos y emocionantes, aunque a veces cueste llegar a ellos.
All right, let's talk about our sponsor here, Gamer Tag Radio, and that's HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and of course, affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. The holidays are just around the corner, and HelloFresh makes this busy time of the year easier than ever with chef crafted recipes and pre-portioned ingredients delivered right to your door, so you can spend less time meal planning and prepping. Now, my favorite part, you can save money on dinner with HelloFresh and put it toward your holiday shopping. HelloFresh is cheaper than the grocery shopping and 25% less expensive than takeout. Now, very quickly, we received our kit a couple weeks back. And again, and I use HelloFresh way back too, and loved it. It's easy to make, It came with, all right, came with multiple ingredients plus chicken, beef, and pork, and it's easy to make. It just takes a few minutes of your time. Now, go right now to HelloFresh.com/GTR65 and use code GTR65 for 65% off plus free shipping. And I repeat, go to HelloFresh.com/GTR65 and use code GTR65 for 65% off plus free shipping. Take advantage of this deal right now. And we want to thank HelloFresh for supporting Gamer Tag Radio.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
And that's it. We're out. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Gamer Tag Radio. This is Danny Pena. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.